And this was a sermon that originally I wrote in seminary the first time I went to seminary. And that was in 2003, October 23rd, 2003. And it's almost 20 years ago. And as I looked back at it, I was like, well, this has some applicability to me. So I hope today it has some applicability to you also. The last time I preached at Grace Bible Church was September 6th, 2015. And we all are growing together. And in my journey, we moved over to Vancouver, Washington. And I was a student over there at seminary. And then I worked as a registrar at a college. And then we moved back to Idaho, and I worked as a technical communicator, which may or may not have been very good at. You guys can decide for yourselves on my sermon delivery today. But after that, I was a programmer for 3 years. So I've actually learned like 3 new programming languages in the time since the last time I preached here. But the Lord carries us all along in life, and we all get to journey together. So let's start off with a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to bless our time this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to come and to approach your word. We just ask your blessing upon this time, Lord, that you would speak through me, Lord, that the words you want me to say would be your words, Lord, that your word would be honored and your name would be glorified. And we just love you, Lord, and ask your blessing upon this time. Amen. All right, can I get a show of hands? This will be a little participatory, but anybody that's ever owned a truck, can you raise your hand if you've owned a truck? Or if, like, your spouse has owned a truck and you've driven it, you can raise your hand too. All right, so I have a photo here. This is me. This is my second truck, actually. And it's a Toyota, and trucks are great. They're very utilitarian, and there's benefits of owning a truck, and there's some drawbacks of owning a truck. Some of the benefits are, you know, you can haul things around, and we have a next photo. So this is me heading off to college, and I had the back of my truck full of all sorts of things. I think it looks like there's a mattress in there. So I must have been headed off to an apartment to finish off college. And but trucks can haul all sorts of things. And as you guys who owned trucks know, you've probably hauled all sorts of different things around. And that is a benefit of owning a truck. But it also can be a drawback. When you have a truck and it can haul things, it becomes an opportunity for you to help other people. And that can be a use and abuse. You can be, you can use the truck and you can abuse the truck. And so I want to tell you guys a little story about one of my friends. He's a good friend. We were roommates in college. And after we were roommates, when I was living over in Oregon, just slightly after that picture was taken, he called me up and he's like, hey, I'm moving down, I'm moving from Salem to Beaverton area. And he's like, could you give me, can you haul my bookcase for me? And I was, you know, we're good friends. I'm like, oh, of course, you know. And so I was like, you know, just jumped in. I'm like, yeah, I'll help you. And so we get to his house, and that included like lifting the bookcase and putting it in the back of the car. And of course, it's Oregon, like east, western Oregon, so it's raining. And so we put a tarp over his bookcase and his other stuff and got it all loaded into the truck. And we got on the freeway and drove 45 minutes up north to Beaverton. And then we had to unload his bookcase, and he was moving into a second story. So we had to carry it up the stairs, and that's all right. You know, that part of the adventure all went well. The problem started when it was a Sunday night, And I got back on the, I believe it was a Sunday night, anyways, got back on the freeway and started heading south. And unbeknownst to me, in Salem, where I was living at the time, there was an accident on the freeway. What happened was there was a like a pickup truck carrying six porta potties, and they're driving on the freeway, and somehow the porta potties like fell off, and behind them was a fuel tanker, and he turned to miss, and it broke open, and there was diesel and burning porta potties all over the freeway. Needless to say, so I left at 10, and I didn't get home till 2 a.m. They had to reroute everybody off the freeway for about 20 miles. My friend Chad, he didn't know that that would happen, and I didn't know that would happen, but that was one of the times where having a truck was kind of a drawback, because I had to go to work the next morning. And anyways, so trucks can be a great tool, you know, to do things. But sometimes there's an attitude that comes with people who know you have a truck. And they want you to help them out because they don't have a truck and you have a truck. And so they would like you to help them out. And generally, as people, we like to help out each other, right? But sometimes that turns into abuse. And sometimes people ended up getting treated like a tool. So instead of the truck being the tool, it's the person. And who likes to be treated like a tool? We all like to be treated like humans, where we can interact and have choice. Well, how did I go about fixing people who wanted to use my truck for hauling things? Well, I have another photo. My truck is the blue one on the left there. And what I ended up doing, and maybe this wasn't in the right spirit, but I got a cab. So I didn't have to haul as much stuff. But this is actually out in front of the church office here. This building over here, and it looked a little bit different 20 years ago. Anywho, but that was my truck on the back left with the cab, and I had lived over in Oregon where it was raining all the time. And I was like, oh, a cab would be really nice, you know, a little shell on your truck. And then I went to school after that in Southern California, where I didn't need that because it didn't ever rain. And it really just turned into an oven in the back. So it wasn't even particularly fun to be in the back of the cab. Anywho, so that is my camper shell, and that's how I went about to fixing my truck, so I wouldn't necessarily be a target of use and abuse. And that might not have been the greatest attitude, but that's what happened. So today, we're going to talk about properly appreciating things for what they are, and we're going to look at three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. Three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. And if you would open your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to open up to 1 Thessalonians. And I've been teaching to the, while we open up, I'll talk a little bit. I've been teaching to the junior hires and high schoolers. And so I was thinking, well, maybe I need to up my game a little bit to adults. So I'd start off with reading you guys an excerpt of my thesis. All right. It was a dark and stormy night. Just kidding. I'm not going to put you guys to sleep with the thesis. I'm trying to talk like an adult. So. All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and I'll be reading out of the NASB, so it might be slightly different than some of our Bibles, and I'll address some of those things in a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 1, 1-5. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we prove to be among you for your sake. So in verse 3 there, some of you might not had the part that said, in the presence of our God and Father. And that's a manuscript issue. And so some Bibles follow one manuscript family, and some Bibles follow another manuscript family. But some of the oldest manuscripts do feature that. And so it's in the NASB, which was what I was reading from this morning, in the end of verse 3. So let's look at some background. First, let us ask, who were the authors? We see it's Paul, Timothy, and Silas. We ask, who is Paul? We know who is Paul. Paul is an apostle. He was not one of the original 12 apostles, the 12 disciples, but God appeared to him and sent him out as an apostle. And we see that in the first verse of many books that he wrote, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus. And there's more info about Paul's conversion in Acts 9. And his story we read in 1st Corinthians 15 as part of the gospel, how the Lord appeared to him also. So who is Silvanus and Timothy? Timothy was Paul's true child in the faith. We can look at 1 Timothy 1:1 and the following. And he became one of Paul's closest companions. And he's first mentioned in Acts 16:1-3. And the Apostle Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. And that's who Timothy was. Silvanus is next. Who is Silvanus? Silvanus was known as Silas, and that's just a Latinized or a contracted version of Silvanus. Perhaps like Tim and Timothy, or William and Bill. Silvanus prophesied in Acts 15:32 after the Jerusalem Council there. And Paul chose Silas to replace John Mark to go on the missionary journey. And that's in Acts 15:36 through 40. And Paul and Silas were imprisoned together in Acts 16:22 through 30. And that's who Silvanus was. So let's ask ourselves, who were the Thessalonians then? Well, the Thessalonians are the recipient of this letter. And why does, I guess we don't have the verses up there, so me pointing up there doesn't help. But, why does they qualify the word church? He says, to the church of Thessalonians in God and Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we see here that the Thessalonians, Thessalonia is, it was a city that was started in 315 BC by Cassander. It became a free city in 42 BC by Mark Antony. And its location is on the Via Ignatia. And the Via Ignatia is a road. All roads lead to Rome. And if you're in Byzantium or Constantinople, there is a road that leads to Rome called the Via Ignatia. And Thessalonica is on that road. So Thessalonica is in it's next to Greece, where Alexander the Great would have been from that northern area of Greece. It's just in the top part there of the bay, I guess, the very large bay, the ocean, the Mediterranean Ocean that reaches up in between Greece and Turkey. Anyway, so that is where the Thessalonians were. And when was this book written? It's written around AD 50 through 51. And this is based upon an inscription called the Delphi inscription, referencing a local ruler. The local ruler's name was Gallio. And so that helps us date this letter. The book of Galatians was probably previous to this. And so then this is one of Paul's earlier letters. So let's continue on and let's look at three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. And the first area is, one, greet God's saints. Three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. One, greet God's saints. And it has to do with verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. What is grace to you and peace? Well, obviously we can take the concepts of grace and peace and see that we want to impart those to people. In the New Testament, it was a common greeting. And you can see that in the scriptures in Romans 1:7, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 1:2, Galatians 1:3, Ephesians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Colossians 1:2, 1 Thessalonians here, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Peter, 2 Peter, Revelation, John. The greeting is used among different authors such as Peter, Paul, and John, particularly the greeting of peace, and similar to the Hebrew greeting of shalom. If you guys ever heard anybody say shalom to say hello, shalom. And so that's the idea of grace and peace to you. It's like saying hello. With the connotations of I want you to have a graceful and peaceful life. So that is the greeting here. And I want to tell you a little story. Have you guys ever, like, got a check in the mail? Anybody? I think we've all got a check in the mail. It's a great day when you get a check in the mail. One time, I got a check in the mail, but it was two checks. And I accidentally opened somebody else's envelope, and it was attached to mine too closely, and I didn't realize it, and so, like, it had been stuck together. And so I opened their mail, and I saw that it was their check. Well, I closed it up and ripped them apart and got it sent off to the right person. But the greeting at the beginning of this book is to help delineate the intended recipient. So, like, when I got that second check, it was meant for somebody else. So what needed to happen is I needed to give it to the right people because they were accidentally stuck together. So the greeting here is saying, hey, this is who the book is intended to, the recipient. And if there was no greeting, what would that indicate? There would be something going on, wouldn't there? There'd be a silent treatment. Something is wrong. But there is a greeting here. And the greeting is important. And as a church, do we greet people in a respectful way? How about being joyous? Are we joyous in how we greet people? We're commanded to be joyful generally, like Psalms 37:4, 33:1, 32:11, 100:1-2. There's lots of things that say, hey, be joyous in the Lord. But wait a second, does the Bible actually command us to greet one another? You guys ready for this? Not only does it command us to greet one another, but like 2 Corinthians 13:12 says this, greet one another with a holy kiss. 1 Peter 5:14 says this, greet one another with a kiss of love. Wow. Does that make you guys uncomfortable? Let's note here that this is what I would consider a culturally bound command. So in their culture, the kiss of love was a normal thing. In our culture, we have different approximations that we would do, such as a handshake or smiling when you're saying hello. So we are commanded to greet one another and warmly. Ask yourself, are we honoring God in our attitude and behavior towards others? So let's continue on now to look at some more areas. So three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. One is to greet God's saints. Two is to pray for God's will, verses 2 through 3a. I'll go ahead and read verse 2 here for us. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers. And we see here an explanation is that Paul was giving thanks for the Thessalonians and the work in their lives. And how did they do it? How did Paul give thanks? In their prayers and remembering. They were acknowledging something. They were acknowledging God as the author of good works. Have you guys been exposed to the world of academia? In academia, like in this book here that I wrote, there's lots of references, footnotes, endnotes, inline notes, just academic citation. Why do we have academic citation in the world? Well, it's to have a path for sources. So you can go back and look and see, hey, is that what such and such really said? But there's also more than that. It's so that the person who does the work can get the credit. And that's what we see going on right here, is Paul is giving thanks to God for God's work. Have you ever had something really important that you've left unattended accidentally? Maybe a tea kettle? Maybe some macaroni you were cooking? What happens? It boils over and makes a big mess. What about the oil in your car? Have you ever heard of a story of somebody that forgot to change the oil in their car? I know somebody that didn't know that they needed to change the oil in their car, and they drove it and drove it and drove it. What would be the effects of that? Maybe once you could, you know, go 10,000 miles, maybe twice, but eventually your car would break down, right? So when we can attend to things appropriately, they behave much better. So as we look at this praying for God's will, we should be thankful for those people who are following God in our ministries. So there's people who are serving and they seek to follow the Lord in their lives, and day in and day out, making little choices. And we want to be thankful for that. And that's what Paul was doing for the Thessalonians. He was thankful for the work of God in their lives. And we should be in prayer for those people and everybody in our church. We should be praying and being thankful about just the Lord working in each one of us. All right, so let's continue on to the third area. Three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. We have greet God's saints in verse 1, pray for God's will in 2 and 3, and 3, acknowledge God's work in 3 and following. And let's go ahead and read verse 2 and 3 here. I'll read them. Constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. The nature of the missionary's prayer was on these three aspects of the Thessalonians' work: faith, hope, and love. And that might seem familiar because we read about that in 1 Corinthians 13:13. Knowing brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. In verse 3, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. The election of God of the Thessalonians. God chose the Thessalonians here. And Paul is rejoicing in that fact. God was the one who chose the Thessalonians. All right. When I was in junior high and grade school, I grew up in the summers in McCall, and I got to live on Payette Lake and spend a lot of time on the lake up there. And one of those times, I was in about 1993, I was up there, and we were on the lake, and we saw this, geese, right? Everybody's seen geese flying over. Usually they fly in a V formation or echelon. The geese, however, a gaggle of geese, when they're in the water, they usually swim like a single file, I've noticed. I feel like instead of a gaggle, they should be called a convoy, because that's kind of what they look like when they're swimming around the lake. But at this time, in 1993, there was one goose who kept swimming around in a circle. And we're like, there's something wrong with that goose. And he kept swimming like in these circles. And we're like, there's something crazy about this goose. And so eventually the goose made it to the beach where we were at. And I walked up and looked at the goose. And I have a picture here. This is from 1993 with this goose. And the goose ended up having an injury, and it had been hit by a propeller, and the propeller had hit it in the eye. So it had, it had recovered, but it definitely had some problems, right? So we took the goose. I went up and I looked at the goose and I was like, well, let's go take it to the animal hospital, right? So we were at the far side of Payette Lake, and so I grabbed this goose and we get in the car and drive 45 minutes to the animal hospital over in Donley. And they look at it and they're like, well, there's really nothing we can do for it. It's looking like it's going to be all right, you know. After about 10 minutes of looking at it and everything, we checked out and went and got in the car and drove back to the lake and set the goose free. But in the whole time, I was holding a goose for the 45 minute, a wild goose for 45 minutes there and back. And has anybody else in the room ever held a goose for an hour and a half? Anyways, the goose, certain things may have happened when wild animals are scared. But anyways, the story of this goose is that even though I really wanted to help the goose and we wanted to take it to the animal things, there's nothing that we could do for the goose. And the works of man can all be for naught. Even though I was there was good intention there and we put effort into it, it didn't turn out to change the goose. So I don't ever know what happened to the goose, but maybe he figured out how to go straight eventually and got to fly north or south. Anyways, so let's look at verse 4. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full conviction. Just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. We read here of the good news coming, not in word only, but in power and the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. The Jews of the time, when Jesus arrived, were expecting a conquering king to come in the Messiah, not a suffering servant. They were mistaken about the nature of the Messiah's suffering service. However, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of power in the Holy Spirit. We read that in Acts 10:38. The Bible tells us that. The ministry of the Holy Spirit continued through the apostles of Jesus and the disciples and the church, and then through the missionaries. The good news of the Messiah's coming and his suffering for man's sin did not affect the Thessalonians in word only, but also in power and the Holy Spirit and full conviction. The news resulted in the changed lives of the Thessalonians. This change and the nature of the message was accompanied by the character of the missionaries. We read here that just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. So not only did the gospel change the Thessalonians' lives, but that matched the change that were in the missionaries' lives. And there's in 1 Corinthians 2:4, I'll read to this, a parallel. And we read in 1 Corinthians 2:4, and we'll read 3 through 5 here. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. And that is what we see happening with the Thessalonians as well. Have you guys ever told somebody some news and it didn't have much effect? Maybe they were like, they were busy doing something else and they didn't quite hear you, or it just meant nothing to them. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe it just didn't have any effect on them. That type of situation was not what Thessalonians experienced. This was full conviction, 100%. Full sentence, no parole. Conviction that words match deeds. Right? This is the type of conviction that came to the Thessalonians. As we look at application here for this to us, first we can realize that the good news changes lives. It's God's work, it's God's power, it's God's good news that changes lives. We can acknowledge that God is responsible for that change, and we can praise God. So in conclusion, I'd like to reiterate the three areas to appreciate God's work in His church. One is greet God's saints, and we saw that in verse 1. Two is pray for God's will in verses 2 and 3. And three, acknowledge God's work in 3 through 5. All right, so much like the owner of a truck can be abused, so can God for His work in the church today. And so, are we honoring God in our attitude toward others? Do we treat other people like tools? Or do we see the image of God in these created people around us? We should be thankful for those people who are following God in our church's ministries, who seek to every day make decisions to choose to serve the Lord, to follow the Lord, to trust in the Lord. We should be in prayer for the people in our ministries. We should realize that the good news changes lives, acknowledging that God is responsible for that change, and praise God. And the music team can head on up. And we should glorify the name of the Lord. I didn't have a truck for many years, and I've recently got a truck again. And just this last weekend, I took the cab off the truck, and I was like, that is interesting. And I know that, some people, you know, being an extrovert, it's easy to greet people. And other people, being introverts, you know, it's harder. And so the Lord, you know, works in each one of us in different ways. And so I think what a good application for me is to feel like I should be kind of getting out of my comfort zone. And I don't think we're called to necessarily give each other a holy kiss. I would go for the holy handshake. But I do think that we can all, you know, grow in our appreciation of one another. So thank you.